He said shooting her was an accident, and of course their kids wanted to believe him. What kind of monster would hurt himself just to help with his alibi anyway? But with technological advances 9 years later, investigators were able to see that his story about being so in love, coming home holding hands with his wife, was a little far-fetched. This is the story of Melissa Rokuba, the woman whose home security camera caught her husband in his lie. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. My cousin sent me today's case saying simply that it was interesting. I wasn't sure when I started reading about it if it had been solved or not, so maybe I'll leave you hanging here a little bit too. The story starts in August 2013, when a young woman got a call from her dad in Simpson, Pennsylvania. He said that her mom, his wife, had been injured in a terrible accident in their own home. They lived right next door to each other, so the daughter raced over, screaming, "Mommy, Mommy." 44-year-old Melissa Marie Rokuba was lying on the bed where she had been shot in the head, blood just everywhere. Her husband, Bruno, said he was simply cleaning his gun when it fired accidentally. The bullet had gone through his own hand before hitting his wife of nearly 25 years.
State police were back along Jefferson Street in Simpson trying to figure out exactly what happened overnight inside this home. Troopers say Bruno Rokuba, seen here with his wife Melissa, was handling his gun when it went off. He shot himself through his hand and his wife Melissa in the head. But it's unclear to police if this shooting was accidental or not.
At this point in time, it's too early in the investigation for us to determine that. They are still working now, collecting evidence, conducting interviews.
Investigators spent the entire night at the Rokuba's home in Lackawanna County looking for clues.
Bruno and Melissa were taken to different hospitals to be operated on, and their daughters both raced to be at Melissa's side with her much more serious injuries. Of course, they felt horrible for their dad, though. When the police interviewed Bruno the next day, his hand and arm all bandaged up from his surgery, his explanation was likely enough. He said his pistol had been in the bedroom nightstand because he'd been away, and houses in their neighborhood had been broken into recently. He wanted his wife to be safe. Now that he was back home and their grandson was coming over the following day, it was time to put it away. So Melissa was watching TV in the bed next to him when he grabbed the gun to empty the chamber and store it. And he must have just pulled the trigger, what can you say? He reenacted the accidental shooting while sitting on their bed, which was still stained with blood, using a toy gun. And you know, it was believable. These things happen. I mean, he got hurt too. The family's attorney said that, hey, not every shooting is a crime. And the family started the grieving process days later when they decided to take Melissa off of life support, so they had other things on their mind. But as time went by, Bruno's daughter started to feel a little suspicious about the way he'd handled everything. He barely visited Melissa while she was in the hospital. He lied about visiting her grave. He wanted her things out of the house immediately, so much so that her sister had to go out shopping just to buy some clothes to bury Melissa in. Bruno asked his daughters, who were barely grown, to take care of the bloody mattress so he didn't have to. He cleaned out all of the pictures of his wife, whom, don't forget, he'd been married to for almost 25 years, and even gave away her dog. But in the midst of all of this purging, Bruno acquired one thing, a new girlfriend. And one night, his daughter, who lived next door, looked across to her dad's house and saw that woman making Christmas dinner, a dinner she hadn't been invited to. Melissa's best friend also said that shortly after Melissa died, Bruno called her to ask how soon was too soon after your wife's death to be out in public with your new woman. Still, there was really nothing about the shooting that pointed to it being intentional. Bruno said he and Melissa had gone out to dinner with friends the night she died, and that there had been no problems between them. When they met in 1988, Melissa was a 19-year-old police officer, and Bruno was a 22-year-old Navy man. Their daughters felt like they had the ideal family when they were little kids, a great dad who loved their mom. Bruno told the police that the night Melissa was shot, they came into the house holding hands after dinner. But his daughters weren't so sure. They'd come to have a slightly different idea of their parents' marriage as they'd gotten older. The eldest daughter had lived with her parents for a time after becoming an adult and said they argued all of the time. She said one night her dad was drunk and grabbed her mom by the back of the hair and flung her into the wall with a loud thud, causing her to stop breathing. The younger one said that just weeks before her mom was killed, Melissa admitted that Bruno had pulled a gun on her before. Their mom didn't want to say anything bad about their dad, it seemed, but she wanted them to know in a way that he wasn't quite the man they idolized. And like, yes, he had asked one of them to bring him Melissa's cell phone so he could erase some text messages, but it was only because the police would have taken them the wrong way. And yes, he sent them paperwork that he told them to sign without reading, and it turns out that it gave him complete control of the money Melissa had left behind for them. Their grandma had won $1.15 million at a casino back in 2007, and when she died, the remaining payout became an inheritance for Melissa. Then when she died, the funds should have been split between Bruno and the girls, but he made sure that didn't happen. Still, they didn't want to go accusing him because who really knew what happened to their mom that night? And wouldn't you rather have your dad around than neither of your parents? The thing is, one of the daughters says that Bruno actually admitted to acting maliciously at one point. She point-blank asked him what had actually happened with Melissa, and he said, "I didn't mean to kill her, I just tried to scare her." He said they were arguing, he wanted to take control, he decided to give her a little fright, and it just happened to go in a direction that he didn't intend. His daughter told him she was going to tell the cops, and he was basically like, "Go ahead, no one will believe you." And that's more or less what happened. Investigators said it was her word against his and that she might just be trying to get that inheritance money back from her dad. Imagine how that feels after you've struggled with whether or not you should rat out your mom's killer for months and months. But in 2020, 4 years later, the Pennsylvania State Police started looking at old homicide cases that had never been solved. Melissa's case wasn't exactly considered a homicide. Her death certificate listed the manner of death as pending, so it was more of a question than anything. But the case had been left open. And when two investigators took a look at it, the 911 call immediately struck them as odd. First, Bruno said he and Melissa had been fighting. Then he said he let the gun go off when he was playing with it. Then he said they were both going to go shooting, and he accidentally pulled the trigger while handling it. Then these investigators watched his recorded reenactment of the event and noticed even more red flags. Like the fact that his finger was even on the trigger of a loaded gun to begin with if he didn't intend to use it. Like the fact that the gun had one safety on the trigger and one safety on the grip and would need to be held in a very specific way to go off at all. Like the fact that he said he shot her to his left, but the blood spatter was on the wall behind him. Like the fact that he was supposedly unloading the gun without ejecting the magazine. I don't know anything about guns, but apparently that's something that you wouldn't normally do. But even more interesting than that, they found that a security system had recorded the conversation Bruno and Melissa were having as they arrived home, and it didn't appear that the couple had entered the home happy and holding hands like Bruno had said. The original investigators back in 2013 hadn't been able to access the recording, but new technology allowed the new team to hear that an argument between the couple started in the driveway and continued into the house. Bruno had said, "Next time, you get your own ride." And Melissa had said, "Whatever." He replied, "Yep, whatever." The two cursed at each other right up until the sound of the gunshot. The police re-interviewed Melissa's family members and heard about the times he'd threatened her with a gun and the many times he'd allegedly cheated on her. Bruno heard that the police were asking around about him and called his eldest daughter to say he would end his own life before he would go to jail. But it turns out that shooting himself in the hand was the furthest he was willing to go. When Bruno was arrested in June 2022, he stuck to his story about the accident. He pleaded not guilty. And, you know, it's his lawyer's whole job to defend him, but the lawyer was like, "We're about to have a lot of explaining to do to a jury." The major thing, the thing that was going to look pretty bad, was who he was dating now. Remember how Bruno and Melissa had been out the night he shot her? They were at a dinner with another couple. And Bruno's girlfriend, the one he started dating way too soon after Melissa died, was the wife in that couple. Her then-husband says that the day after the shooting, he walked into Melissa's hospital room and caught his wife kissing Bruno, but they just said they were close talking. Then the guy started coming home from work, and Bruno would be there with his wife. Then one night, he woke up to find her side of the bed empty, so he drove over to Bruno's house, and there she was, barely dressed. That was the night she decided to officially move in with Bruno. And this woman says that they weren't together before he shot Melissa, that it wasn't an affair. And I won't question her, but I will make this face so you know I'm totally questioning her. So in May 2024, the now 58-year-old Bruno Charles Rokuba pleaded guilty to third-degree murder. He said he just wanted his family to be able to move on with their lives. He faced a maximum of 40 years in prison and was sentenced to 12 to 40 years. Melissa's dad, who worked in law enforcement, said at the hearing, "You have no idea the pain you've caused me. I have a hole in my heart that can never be fixed." In response, Bruno said, "I loved Melissa. I don't expect you to forgive me. I don't forgive myself. And I don't mean to be heartless here, but I think we might all agree. Good." Melissa loved her grandkids and considered herself a stay-at-home grandma. A Jersey girl at heart, she loved going to the casino and to the beach. I'm so sorry for her that she was another victim of a man who totally wasn't having an affair. And I'm even more sorry for her daughters that they had to keep wondering about their dad because he wasn't remorseful enough to admit the truth of what he'd done. One of them said to him, "To say you were a bad person would be a lie. I love you so much, Dad, but I don't love what you did." Imagine spending 9 years going from believing that your dad was suffering for what he'd done to his wife and to himself, to then being suspicious that maybe he wasn't telling the truth, to then knowing he was a killer and having no one believe you. Thank you to CBS News for their reporting here. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.